from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. It is 9:05 on this Wednesday morning. It's the 14th day of April, 2021. I'm John Reed, and glad you are with us here on News Radio WRVM. Hoping some of you who are up early with us when we first go on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning are still with us now, because I mentioned yesterday and today throughout the program that we would be having, a pretty important conversation about elections in Virginia with some of the folks who are responsible for executing the elections here. And with one of the things that the politicians I talk to who go out and knock on doors have been telling me is that Republican voters especially are very suspect of elections after what happened last year. I don't know if that's just a national thing, like, you know, those cheaters in Illinois or those cheaters in Atlanta, they stole the election from us, or whether it's more hyper-local, that they really feel like the elections are not being run fairly and the ballots are not being counted fairly in their own home counties here in Virginia. So I can't do anything about the national scene, but I can try to convene some of the folks here in Virginia who deal with this. And this morning, I'm pleased to welcome once again, he's been on a few times with us, Chris Piper, who's the commissioner of the Virginia Board of Elections. Chris, thank you for coming on. You were great the last time we talked, so I appreciate you rejoining us.
Well, thanks for having me, John. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
And Allison Robbins is with us today, and Allison is the president of the Voter Registrars Association of Virginia. So, Allison, thank you for coming on as well. Buckle your seatbelt, because I don't know how this is going to go, but you're brave to step up here. I want to give out the phone number. If you are one of the people who would tell a local politician, I'm not even participating this year because I think that the elections are rigged, this really is your opportunity to call in and ask direct questions to the folks who should have all the background information about how we're doing this in Virginia. And I'm not looking for you to be ugly or rude or, you know, hostile. Can we try to keep it above, on the upper levels of civilized conversation and just ask your question? And if you want to go back and forth and ask a follow-up, I'm happy with that too. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, if you'd like to join us on the air today. So, Chris, let me start with you. We're a few months out from the November elections here in Virginia. There was a lot of flurry of news stories about the thumb drive in Henrico County and, you know, different election machines that were counting votes. Now that the smoke has cleared, did you and your office and your investigators and the folks that work with you, did you discover any problems that you can pinpoint in the last election cycle, the presidential election cycle with the congressional races included?
Well, John, again, thanks for having us on.
Sure.
Appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. And So the department put out its post-election report. We published that in January. It's available on our website.
Okay.
We're very open and transparent about any issues that occurred. And there were issues that occurred. However, we are incredibly confident at the outcome of the election and how it was conducted. I particularly want to, commend Allison and her colleagues around the Commonwealth. They put on an extraordinary election in an extraordinary time with a lot of changes that came about and necessary changes, but changes to assure that people could have their voices heard in the midst of a pandemic. And so it was unprecedented, everything we went through. But we lay out some of the issues that came up. But as far as the vote counting and the ultimate winners of the election, we are confident that Virginia's votes were counted, and they were counted accurately, fairly, and securely.
Well, what were the issues, just curious, that you identified, and how, on a scale of 1 to 5, were they really severe, like we lost an entire bucket of ballots in the Atlantic Ocean, or, you know, what are we talking about here?
No, I think there weren't any issues like that. There were issues. I think we've heard about the issues where a few localities incorrectly or accidentally sent out more than one ballot to individuals who had requested ballots. This is not an issue because we obviously are only going to count the one ballot from the one individual. And because in Virginia, you have to request a ballot, you know, if somebody else were to send in a ballot that didn't request it, we obviously wouldn't count that. So
you feel confident that would have been flagged if two ballots came in from either the same person or let's say I got two ballots, I requested my absentee ballot, I got two in the mail, and I was kind of a cheater, and I said, okay, to my 10-year-old kid, here, we'll put your name on it, try to see if you can vote. You would have discerned the difference, and you would have tossed out the 10-year-old kid's ballot and only counted mine. You feel confident about that?
Oh, absolutely. And I can go over all the ways that we can flag that and assure that that doesn't happen. But certainly there are many protections in place and checks and balances to ensure that doesn't happen. There are other, minor issues, but everything was caught, and, we feel incredibly confident that the ballots were counted accurately.
Okay, so not to beat a dead horse, but can you just tell me what the other minor issues would be? And forgive me for not having read your full report. I probably should have done that before I talked to you. I apologize, but what would the minor issues be?
So those were the biggest issues that come off the top of my head. I'm going to go ahead and pull it up for you in my work here, but I do encourage everybody to read it. I think one of the other issues we had was just with regard to, I think we have been very transparent about the fact that our election night reporting was not what we would like it to be. We tried to be very upfront about how the counting process was going to go. But Virginia experienced a significant shift in the way we vote in 2020. And that was largely because 60% of our voters turned out early or by absentee by mail. Mm-hmm. And the way our election night reporting is set up is to, we're set up for the majority of the votes to come in election day. So when election results are coming in, we're pulling the information from election day. In this case, we had a slight change in the way big change in the way voters cast their ballots. So what you saw was a lot of results coming in right after 7 p.m. The polls closed. We had a lot of results come in from those election day totals. Mm-hmm. What happened is later in the night, as registrars around the Commonwealth were tallying the results from the early votes and the absentee votes, those took a little bit longer to come in. Mm-hmm. And so later in the evening, you saw this massive,
That's why there was a surge in the numbers. There were a lot of people really mad, here in the 7th Congressional District, Nick Freitas is winning. Nick Freitas is winning. It's huge. And then, in the middle of the night, Congresswoman Spanberger's numbers improved dramatically, and there was an immediate suspicion that somebody had rigged the numbers overnight. It made sense to me that you were simply tallying in a separate room the absentee ballots, but I can understand why somebody would say, "No, wait a minute, how did this happen?"
Yeah, and I understand that too. Mm-hmm. What I can say is that we were transparent about that. We explained to the media and to parties and to anybody who would listen how we're going to be reporting those results. Mm-hmm. But one thing, you know, I want to be clear about something because you said something that I think triggers people.
Okay.
You said people are counting ballots in a room. And while theoretically or technically that's true, mm-hmm. those are what are called central absentee precincts. They're just like a regular polling place. There are offices of election represented by both parties that are in the room that are tallying those votes. So it's not like, you know, thick cigar smoke and people in the back room like counting up ballots. This is a very defined process that ensures the fairness and the accuracy of the vote. So this was a completely transparent process, but I can see from the public's perception how it was concerning. So
you don't think there's any chance that there was anyone, let's just pick the county I live in Henrico, because I don't think that Henrico is rife with cheating, but I'll just use them as an example. You don't think there's any chance that someone could say, okay, Nick Freitas is ahead by 9,871 votes. It's 11 o'clock. We're going to stop counting. And then we're going to find some ballots someplace that will eclipse that lead. Would that be impossible to have that happen with the checks and balances you have in place? Because I think some people think that happened.
Yeah, I think absolutely. First of all, to answer your question, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I think Allison can fill in and hear on some of the processes that they have in place. But look, I think there's a perception out there that registrars walk into the door one day and they see like 50 ballots on their desk and like, oh, I'll just run these through the machine. Mm-hmm. That there's a process that they have to go through to check to make sure that ballots are related to a voter. And she can talk about that a lot, but certainly impossible.
Let me do this, Allison. When we come back, Allison Robbins, the president of the Voter Registrars Association of Virginia. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to talk about that briefly, and then I'll take some calls here at 833-804-1140. I want some folks to be able to talk to you directly. 833-804-1140. We're back with Chris Piper, the commissioner of the Virginia Board of Elections, and Allison Robbins, the president of the Voter Registrars Association of Virginia, here on News Radio WRVA. 921 on this Wednesday. I'm John Reed, News Radio WRVA. Boy, we are a divided country, a divided state. I mean, it seems like almost 50-50 wherever you go, unless it's maybe Northern Virginia. So every vote really does count. And we are with Chris Piper, the commissioner of the Virginia Board of Elections, and Allison Robbins, the president of the Voter Registrars Association. And Allison, I appreciate you coming on today. I've been talking about how we should look at every ballot as like $1,000 bill. Very rare, very important, very expensive, and not lose track of them. And I think some people looked at the last election and didn't have confidence that that was the attitude about every ballot. 45 days of advanced voting, mailing ballots out. Can you tell me what your assessment is after last year about the sanctity of the ballots? Were they preserved? Do you feel confident that the numbers were accurate? How do you do that?
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
In addition to being the president of the Voter Registrars Association, I'm also director of elections and general registrar for the county of Wise in Southwest Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is my job that I do every day.
Okay.
As far as, you know, what you were saying about ballots being dollar bills being very rare, you know, we have a lengthy certification process. It goes back to what Commissioner Piper was talking about. We have a lengthy certification process post-election. We have a week from election day locally to certify. And in that week, we're going over reports, we're double-checking, we're making sure that, you know, the turnout numbers that we've reported match the number of ballots that were cast in a precinct so that those things are accounted for. And back to your question about, you know, the central absentee precinct or early votes and how those are counted, I'd, I want to point out something that I think is really important for your listeners to know. The Voter Registrars Association supported House Bill 1888 this past year in the General Assembly session that the governor has recently signed. And one of the changes that House Bill 1888 is going to make is it's going to require that early votes, so people who appear early during the 45-day period and vote in person, that those votes are reported as early in-person, separate category from the by-mail ballot that we've seen. So what Chris was saying is, you know, you sort of had these clumped-together reports from the Central Absentee Precinct that came out, you know, much later in the night on Election Day.
Gotcha. So it gives you a little more granular appreciation of where the numbers are, and they could be tracked. With more, so
we're going to have a little bit more parsed out reporting system that we weren't able to get implemented last year, prior to the 2020 election and the shift to, you know, to 45 days of early voting, considering the challenges that the pandemic created. But we're really looking forward to being able to report that way. I think that's going to give
that kind of data. I do think will be
early. And then another thing that House Bill 1888 does is it also is going to require on the local level, elections are administered locally. You know, despite the fact that the state sets regulation and that we have state code that's passed by the General Assembly, you know, elections are administered locally by 133 directors of elections in each of the jurisdictions around the state. One thing that House Bill 1888 is going to require is that local election officials, so your local Republican and Democrat election officials who serve, you know, volunteer with the county to help with the administration of elections, we're going to be counting ballots during what's called a pre-processing period, so that we should not see going forward in Virginia, you know, massive votes that are reported late into the night on election night. Yeah. We won't see.
Okay. Well, that may give people some confidence too to see those numbers in advance. Listen, I'm up against the clock, so let me get in one call before we take the news break, if you don't mind. Joseph in Goochland, you're up first here on News Radio WRVA.
Thank you. I'm not just a listener. I am a stockholder. I have been voting since I was eligible to vote, and I have voted every year for more than 60 years.
That's impressive. A lot of people don't take it that seriously. I applaud you for that.
Oh, okay. In addition to that, I have been appointed as a general registrar in my lifetime in one of the counties of our commonwealth. And I, in addition to that, worked as a election official for many years in a second county.
Okay.
And I met year after year and took the oath of office with the election officials. I want to ask many questions, but one that I will put forward to you is, why did we invest in Dominion to count the votes, and why did they have satellite positions in three countries outside of the United States?
All right. Joseph, I'm out of time. The Dominion voting counting system is a legitimate question for us to ask, but I got to take a break. So that's the question on the table. Chris Piper, Allison Robbins, two of our election officials here in Virginia will rejoin us, and we'll pick that up immediately, I promise, when we come back for the news in just a moment here on News Radio WRVA. Hey, thanks, Gary. Back at 9:35 here on News Radio WRVA, we're joined by Chris Piper, the commissioner of the Virginia Board of Elections, and Allison Robbins, the president of the Voter Registration Registrars Association of Virginia. And when we left for the commercial break in the news there, we got a question about the Dominion voting systems. And so I'd like to have you respond to that. Did we use Dominion voting systems to take the votes and to tabulate them here in Virginia? And did we find problems with that system?
Well, John, this is Chris. And so, yes. There's 29 localities in Virginia that utilize Dominion voting systems. And let me just talk about that a little bit. First of all, with regard to Dominion, there's been a lot of disinformation out there. And I think it's, I want to just say quickly that the Dominion software, the Dominion company is a reputable company. Some of the information that's been pushed forward is just simply false. And it's real easy with some internet searching to find out where the company came from, who runs the company, et cetera. But I'm going to focus mostly on Virginia. So I want to be very clear. Virginia is recognized throughout the country as having one of the most, the strongest voting system certification programs around the country. So first of all, a voting system, a voting machine in Virginia, before it can be used, has to be certified to the federal standards. Now, the Election Assistance Commission, which is a bipartisan commission at the federal level, they're an independent agency. They set those certification standards that those companies have to meet before they can even come to Virginia. Mm-hmm. So they get certified at the federal level, then they have to come to Virginia, and they have to meet our certification standards, which are even stronger than the federal certification standards. Once they've passed those, they can then begin to sell their voting systems to the localities in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Now, Virginia, prior to the 2020 election, we worked with all the vendors to upgrade all the systems so that they were at the latest and greatest models, and that they were, again, certified to our standards. And in 2021, we're certifying to an even stricter standard. So the State Board of Elections most recently passed even stricter standards for these companies to meet. We're very focused on election security. Now, second and last point that I'll make, okay. Some of the information out there has been about, waiting votes. There's a couple of things I would point out. First of all, as Allison has already mentioned, there is a very strict process that they go through to ensure that the number of ballots meets the number of people who showed up to vote. So if you have 500 ballots or 500 voters that showed up, you should have 500 ballots. Mm-hmm. If that number is way off, then you got to do some serious checking. We didn't have any incidences like that in Virginia, number one. Number two, the weighted vote question. That is where you say, well, one vote for Biden would actually be 1.5 votes, and a vote for Trump would only actually count as a half a vote. Well, first of all, that kind of thing is impossible, because if we were to get a tally that said, 1.5 votes for a certain individual, that would definitely raise a red flag. Lastly, I would say, and Allison can talk about this, but we have a requirement in Virginia. All voting machines need to go through what's called logic and accuracy testing before they're deployed for use in the polling places. So they actually run the ballots through the machines with various scenarios to make sure that it counts properly. And then at the end of it all, once we've closed everything down, this year in Virginia, we did the statewide audit, and the statewide audit confirmed the results. So we can be sure that we didn't have any of those kinds of issues.
Okay.
But I really want to focus on that logic and accuracy. That is something that is so critical to what we do. It ensures the machine is counting the votes properly before they're even deployed. So no, in Virginia, we didn't have any of those sorts of problems. And I would argue throughout the country, you didn't see any of those kinds of problems that were alleged post-November.
All right. Well, the machines are kind of out of my league trying to see how they would be changed. They're different elements, step one, step two, step three of an election process. And one of the places that we seem to be in disagreement in the nation is about the presentation of IDs when people walk in to vote. Vicky is up next here on News Radio WRVA. I understand you wanted to touch on that issue, Vicky.
Hi, yes, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Unlike your previous caller, whereas within the last 70 years, I voted every time I could as well. Thanks for bringing up the Dominion. That was kind of down on my list. But if I understand correctly, each state programs the Dominion to meet their needs. Maybe I'm wrong on that. That was kind of down on my list. But I had a different question regarding the recount. Just in Georgia, and your screener said you probably couldn't answer this. But my husband and I watched for probably 5 hours four or five weeks after the count, and we literally saw Georgia, the recounting, not even the recounting, it was the actual voting, where these women sat and for hours took the same stack of ballots and recounted and recounted and recounted. You could see the time up on the top right. So regarding that, it is our belief that there was discrepancies, and if it was blatant there, and I know that in Michigan it happened, that's where I'm from originally. So I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a way to keep that from happening. Regarding Virginia, what about the person who spoke under oath about his truck being taken and all of those ballots lost? What about that? Where did they go?
Vicki, I appreciate it. I'm not familiar with that story, so let me just go to Chris and Allison and see if they can touch on those points you brought up.
Well, I can't speak personally about the Georgia issue that she brought up. Like, I can say that, you know, in Virginia during recounts, you know, that's a very public and transparent process. And certainly you can, there's lots of validation that goes on around the clock. And I know that's the case in Georgia as well, but I can't speak specifically to it. I'm not aware of the issue about the missing ballots in a truck. What I can assure people is that when ballots come in to the registrar's offices, you know, to the central absentee precincts, they're matched up with the voters who requested them, you know, and so they're validated. So this notion that ballots just can show up in an office and we run them through the machine without making sure that they're connected to a voter, it's just not how it works.
And is that done by hand? And is there signature verification or some way to be sure that the person who sent that in or cast the vote is the person who requested the vote?
Allison might be able to talk about the process they go through when a ballot comes in.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, John. You know, just something to touch on here with the previous questions about voting equipment. You know, voting equipment is purchased and is held under high security locally. So in the 133 jurisdictions in the state, the jurisdictions themselves are in possession and hold custody of the voting equipment. So voting equipment is never deployed on any kind of statewide level in Virginia. We hold custody of our own voting equipment here in Wise County, and we're responsible for, like Chris talked about, the LNA testing that we do pre every election. And so when we say LNA testing, what we're really talking about is we're talking about a pre-election testing process so that we are ensuring that we have programmed the equipment to count, you know, one person, one vote, and it is in fact counting, you know, one ballot, one vote.
And do both parties stand in the room when you run those? Let me interrupt you real quick, though. Do both parties stand in the room when you run those tests so that, you know, there's someone who's kind of challenging?
The process, you know, the entire process of elections is very transparent. Mm-hmm. For the political parties, particularly both major parties, always have the opportunity to provide us both by recommending the appointment of the election officials that we use. So the election officials that we actually use who conduct the election on election day during early voting, you know, those people are routinely selected by the political parties to be our election officials. The political parties are entitled to show up, be observers through the testing process. They're allowed to send observers during all in-person voting time, so all during early voting, all through election day. They're entitled to have representatives in the central absentee precinct. They're entitled to have representatives present certification.
See, that's important, and that's one of the things I said to the people who contacted me last year, is this coming year, you should apply within your political party, Republican or Democrat, to be one of the observers so that you've got a question, you're there.
And another thing, John, is, you know, we need thousands of volunteers across the state every year, every election, to be to be duly sworn officers of election to work in their neighborhood polling places. A lot of registrar's offices bring on temporary staff, train up temporary staff to help administer the early voting process for 45 days.
That's important.
So the best way to be informed about the process is to volunteer and participate in the process.
And be right there in the room. Listen, I've got to take, gosh, I hate to do this, I've got to take another break. When we come back, I was hoping we could touch on the voter ID issue. So if you don't mind, if I can pick that up, and we'll try to squeeze in another call before we end the program here on News Radio WRVA. The hour flies. Plus, I'll be honest with you, it's a lot of commercials. Sorry about that. Chris Piper and Allison Robbins, the Commissioner of the Virginia Board of Elections and the President of the Voter Registrars Association of Virginia. I wanted to get to one of the big issues that we're fighting over in the country, voter IDs in Virginia. What does the law say now, and how do you all ensure that only citizens above the age of 18 vote in elections and they only get to vote once in one location?
John, I can answer that. There's a bit of a misconception that Virginia no longer requires an identification to vote. Virginia still requires that a voter provide identification when they appear in person to vote. However, we just no longer require that identification have a photo ID. So we expanded the list to include other type of government issued identifications, like for say your concealed weapon permit is now an allowable type of ID, and so there's this misconception that we only that we no longer require you to show any kind of proof of identity, and you obviously must be a registered voter. You must appear on the poll book there when you you show up to vote in person in order to be given a ballot.
What's the deadline to sign up so that we know that we've got a solid list in advance? And do you all purge, people who die 30 days before the election so that no sneaky person can say, I'm going to vote for myself and grandpa? We both got the same.
We receive monthly lists from the Department of Election of deceased voters from the Bureau of Vital Statistics. And we get those at least monthly. We get those definitely prior to the close of books before each election. And Virginia also participates, and Chris can talk a little bit about this, but Virginia also participates in various list maintenance processes to ensure that we remove out-of-state voters, people who have moved, that sort of information. So, we have a really solid maintenance process in Virginia.
Chris, we're down to the last 2 minutes. What do you want to add?
She's right. So first of all, point you to our website again. Annually, we report on our list maintenance activities, and that is available on our website for anyone to review. Virginia is a national leader in list maintenance. We're a founding member of what's called the Electronic Registration and Information Center, or ERIC. So we share our list with 30 other states, along with the District of Columbia, to ensure that we're updating when people have moved and they haven't told anybody. Maybe they told the next state, but they didn't tell us. Mm-hmm. We are national leaders in that area, and I encourage everybody to take a look at that. List maintenance is a high priority for me and for the governors to ensure that we have the most accurate list as possible. So we keep working in that area. It's very important.
So you feel confident, someone like me who's lived all over, I had an apartment in D.C., an apartment in New York at one time, and a place in Richmond, that I wouldn't, if I was a sneaky person, you don't think I would have been able to vote in two or three different locations in the same election?
No.
I'd get caught.
You would definitely get caught. We have a pretty amazingly strong list maintenance program. And even JLARC, which is the legislative investigatory arm, they commended us on our list maintenance processes. And they looked really closely at it. So we're a leader in this area, and I'm proud to be able to state that.
Okay. Listen, the time flies by. We could do hours with this. Maybe we'll have you on again as we get closer to the next election cycle, once we know who's running for the different parties for governor and lieutenant governor and attorney general. But I think this as a start to kind of talk through this. And I do appreciate both of you coming on and be willing to subject yourself to questions. I didn't pre-approve them with you or tell you what we were going to ask. So we will talk about that some more as we go forward. Chris Piper and Allison Robbins, the Commissioner of the Virginia Board of Elections, President of the Voter Registrars Association here in Virginia.